Moving on to agenda item number three. Excuse me. Item number two. Report and possible discussion on pension advisory report by ANCO by Richard Holden. Richard.
Yes, thank you. You have a summary report in front of you. Started the year on page three. Well, first let me turn it over to Tony to talk about rebranding of the company. Just for one quick second.
Sure. Thanks, Richard. So Tony Kay with ANCO Consulting, formerly the Bogdan Group. Back in January, we announced a name rebrand. The founder of the firm, Joe Bogdan, has not been a part of the organization for a little over 3 years now. Control was transferred to Mike Welker, which I believe Richard Holbein probably spoke about a couple of years ago. This was an effort just to rebrand ourselves in the marketplace. Control has not changed within the organization. In fact, employee ownership was increased throughout the organization. There are six new named partners of the firm. But again, I think the name, when they released it, we were all sitting in the room, all 70 of us, and we saw, you know, there's a bunch of pomp and circumstance, and the name is announced. Three people in the room knew it, and the name's announced, and it's ANCO Consulting. We all kind of sat there and had a quizzical look on our faces, but when you flip to the back of our reports, you see there's an ampersand with a line in front of it, and what's above that line? It calls you in to question that, and it's our clients. We're nothing without our clients. So the catchphrase is putting clients first and co. So we want to be an extension of investment staff. We remain independent, fiduciaries without caveat or exemption for any of our clients, and believe that this structure and this name kind of puts that at the forefront. So again, no control changes. So there's a pretty nifty little video on our website, ancoconsulting.com, if you'd like to hear some of the executives talk about the brand name. They can probably do a much better job than I do.
Thank you. Now, if I could get you to turn to page three real quick, and I'll give a quick summary of the portfolio as it moved through the year. Started the year with $19.9 million. Had $900,000 contributed during the year. Distributed $1.8 million to beneficiaries, primarily paid a little over $100,000 in fees and expenses, and $1.2 million of income, and a very slight appreciation of 0.2% to end the year at 12/31/2016, not 9/30. That did not get changed, unfortunately. To end the year at 20.2, and I would like to say that I got an update from Wells Fargo that is of this last Friday or so. We were up higher than that. As a matter of fact, the total fund through last Friday is up 20.7 million. So a nice gain so far year to date. And I'll turn it over to Tony now to talk about the returns and goals for the portfolio.
Sure. So we'll talk briefly on page four about performance. I mentioned the year-to-date performance. Pretty strong on an absolute basis, up 7.4%. Was a little bit of a struggle during the quarter. You can see the one-year figure there up 7.4%. Performance trailed a little bit, in large part due to the core manager here, which is BBH. They did fail to outperform their benchmark over the last 3 years and had a tough quarter as well. More comments on that in a minute. We did have the Credit Suisse, the Energy Infrastructure MLP Index, that was redeemed. We've talked about that in the past, and those assets did remain in cash, which was a bit of a drag on the portfolio during a strong market environment. Fixed income, I think we all know that rates have been rising, so that's been a challenging place, and it certainly was for the quarter. The new manager here, LBC, which is kind of plays in the high yield space. Did a pretty good job, off to a good start there as a way to kind of negate the impact of rising interest rates. You can see long-term results there, last 5 years up 6.8% versus the benchmark of 7.5%. I'll ask you to move to page 5, where we list the portfolio performance goals. Goal number one, return net of fees should exceed the actuarial required return of 6.5 for the five-year period. That goal was achieved over the last 5 years with a net return of 6.8%. So that did come down a little bit, although in excess of the actuarial assumption rate. We did drop off a really nice fourth quarter of 2011, which was a return of 7%, so, and replace that with a 2016 fourth quarter result of just down slightly at 0.4%. Being the top 50th compared to the peer median universe over the last 5 years, not achieved, and we can talk about that in a couple of moments. Asset allocation is shown on page 6. You can see where we are on the far right-hand side column, the over and under targets. So slightly overweight to large cap equity, slightly underweight to fixed income. Of course, that's been good as interest rates have risen and bond prices have sold off. And then you can see the cash and equivalents at 7.7%. I mentioned that MLP liquidation during the quarter. That's where those assets were housed at the end of the writing of this report.
May I ask a question? We had, David looks at, we had originally about 3 or 4 years ago an asset allocation. Does it match up with this? I don't think it does. We've drifted, is what I'm trying to say. We've drifted from what I think was our original target as far as an asset allocation. I'm not fighting that, but if this is what we're going to do, I think we ought to approve it or have it approved as being different, new allocation.
I think it's all been the same. I don't think there's been any change in the allocation.
It may not have been, but I couldn't find it. I went back and looked, and of course, in the back of the report you give us on page 42, it does not make any mention of allocation, and it's got all the last reports on there, but there's nothing on there now. So I'm just asking if, because we're deviating from some basics going with some of these investments, and I just think we need to be a little bit cautious in making changes without committee approval and intern board.
There's been no change in asset allocation targets for a very long time.
Can you make a change without board approval?
No.
Okay.
So you're saying the target that's shown on page 6 is the same that's been?
It's been there for at least 5 years.
So you're saying it's the performance of the assets that have caused it to be on screen.
Now, wait a minute. The MLP target, MLP investment, didn't we modify our... We did that within 5 years.
I don't know. Say,
I
couldn't. I
thought we'd made some changes, but I thought that all come through.
Let me go grab it. The investment.
I think we did make some changes.
It's been a long while back.
Investment policy.
The targets you're talking about, Leroy.
Yeah. Oh, didn't we had no MLP in our target or in that target, and that was less than 3 years ago.
Well, we've created a space here for private equity, and I don't believe it was part of.
It's currently zero. Yeah.
It's zero. I mean, the range was zero to.
But the space has been created to accept that, and that's. As I say, I'm not trying to be hard to get along on the thing, but I just think we need to be real careful. If we have an edict to manage the account in a certain way, I think we ought to make sure we're doing it that way. That's my point, and I.
Right. Well, I don't think the targets have been changed for a very long time. The thing was, we talked about private equity and the real estate area and whatever, but the range was such that until there was something that was appropriate to invest in, there was a zero bottom range up to, I think it was like a 10% possible upside for the target of 5.
But we didn't. We've never found anything that was appropriate for you. Number one, and we talked about that before.
Right.
There's not very many, if you will, types of conduits for private equity that are open for smaller plans.
Understand.
Especially cost-effective vehicles. There's a lot of them you could get in that are targeted towards individuals or the retail market. That carry excessive fees, and that's just not appropriate for us to be paying, you know, retail prices for that. And later on, when we go on and start talking about real estate, all of a sudden one has popped up that's just, incredible fee structure for a smaller fund, and we'll talk about that later. But I think the targets have been the same for a very long time.
Well, again, our original deal was 60-40. And so we either take an equity ownership position or we're taking a debt position in anything that we do. And as I say, that obviously they all, each category has its own expected rate of return as such. So I want to make a mountain out of a molehill.
That 60-40 was definitely changed. I think you were the one that maybe suggested we make some changes.
So I just
it was all done through board approval.
Right.
I do remember.
Yeah.
Some allocation changes, but are you saying, Richard, that some of the things that we've done were already in the target? We just never had invested.
That's right.
Okay.
You're the same.
Okay, I couldn't find it, so that's the reason I
mean. And David, when does that show when that was adopted?
I didn't look at that.
13th, August 19,
13. Yes, yeah. I think we progressively,
right,
for the last probably 7 or 8 years, have added elements into what we could invest in.
Yep.
We just haven't always jumped on that opportunity, as you were pointing out.
That's right.
It's fine. I couldn't find it, so.
Okay, we're good.
Good question. Greg, maybe just a couple more comments as we move through the report. Page 7 shows the estimated annual fees, which Richard hit the highlights of that in the executive summary report. I'll move ahead to page 8 and look at returns. Again, quarter. I won't sugarcoat it. It was a little bit challenging. You can see the domestic equity portfolio, while up 2.5%, did trail the policy at 5.1%. Again, that's come back somewhat since the writing of this report. You can see fixed income was down, but did protect relative to the benchmark. It's down 0.66%. The benchmark was off greater than 2%. I know that's an area that's been focused on as we've been confronted with the prospect of rising interest rates. You can see the MLP portfolio down for the quarter, but was one of the key places for outperformance over the last year. That piece of the portfolio up close to 18%, just shy of 18%. And then you can see real estate down 3.6% for the quarter, so it did take a little bit of a breather during the quarter, but that's been a nice additive to the total portfolio. Look over the last 3 years, that piece of portfolio has been up 13%, ranking at the 23rd percentile of its peer universe. So that was an area that I believe some of the fixed income assets were moved to the real estate space, again, with the prospect of interest rate increases. We can see what's happened with bonds recently, so moving into that space has been a nice diversifying piece of the portfolio. A couple comments on page 9.
So I have a question on page 8.
Absolutely.
In your opinion, and I know this is just data, but we've got quarter, year-to-date, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year inception, and that gives us the inception data. Which one of these columns do you think is the most important? Or carries the most weight?
I think they're all important. I think
what's more telling?
I think you have to focus on the long-term results. Markets are cyclical.
Which is kind of what I was wanting to confirm. That was my thinking, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing that. So when I look at the 3, 5, and inception dates, in my opinion, these are where we're headed, which is very positive with our MLPs. And I don't know, I mean, I'm so glad I was, I was not 4 and 2nd, 5, was I? that 25% yield, see there? Good thing you do things in spite of me. But the overall yield on this for us is we're just over, under 4% inception since 12, right? Since June 12, we made under 4% on this investment. Where are you? Well, it says on total MLPs, it's 6-1 of 12 in inception date. Point five,
right.
Is 0.52 our number?
Yes.
Together?
Yes.
Okay, what is the 89? Forgive me, I forgot what that number was. Is that
where
we are?
That's the rank in the energy universe.
And so when we look at this, you know, and I look at, this is a good quarter report, very good, you know, good numbers, certainly some more positive things that have gone on in the market. But just to refresh the committee's memory, we did lower our assumption rate for yields to 6.5. However, the benefits to our staff are still going to be paid at that 7.5% assumption that we started with. Isn't that correct, David?
Right.
So, I mean, we're still, while we lowered it so we contribute more annually because of our yields have been lower, hopefully we'll move out of that one of these days when our yields get better. But the burden for the plan really never changed. It was about how much money is going to be funded,
right,
in addition to investment returns. Fair enough?
Yeah.
So just want to make sure I'm seeing it right.
Yeah, thank you. Page 9, we'll move into summary. The data on this page, it's a little bit different from the previous pages we discussed. We actually show the fiscal year-to-date performance. So look at the kind of the second area of the chart there. The blue dot shows where the portfolio was. So up 12.1%, and that's through December. With the numbers that Wells Fargo provided, the market value, and what Richard talked about earlier, looking at about another 4 or 5% on top of that. So who knows what happens in the next couple of days, but fingers crossed, you know, looking at about approximately 17% fiscal year-to-date rate of return, which should put you very high versus your peers in the public fund universe. So good performance there, despite what was a little bit of a choppy quarter for us. So I think trending in certainly in the right direction.
Add to that, Richard.
That's good.
On page, where are y'all at? Page 15, or actually page 14, it shows as of December 31, 2016, but the coverage is only 2015. Is that supposed to be that way?
On page 14?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, page 14 and 15 are preceding calendar years. The report itself goes through the calendar year. When we move to the first quarter of 2017, you'll see 2016 on this page, and 2010 will drop off.
Okay. I kept trying to figure it out, and I couldn't. So
yeah, these are preceding calendar years.
Okay.
Anything else?